And on the third Sunday of Advent, we light the pink candle. The pink candle is the candle of joy. The candle of joy. Hear these words from Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Will you join me in this time of prayer? Father, we indeed thank you for this day. We thank you for all the ways that you have made yourself known in the past week, for those ways that you have walked with us. We thank you that in this season of Advent, where we're anticipating the birth of Jesus, once again to celebrate that we can give you thanks that Jesus came to earth. He lived as one of us. He died, and he rose again. For that, we are eternally grateful. God, I thank you for this particular group of people that you have gathered here today. Your Spirit has drawn each of us from a variety of places, a variety of states, you know, things that we're thinking about, things that are on our mind, concerns that we bring. And yet in these moments, we can give all of those to you. You encourage us to do that every day, not just on Sunday. But right now, in this moment, we give you all of those things that have burdened us. And as we give them to you, may we feel light and free, unchained from those things that have shackled us. For some folks, it's health concerns. For others, there are job stresses and job changes. There may be relationship issues that are going on, some family dysfunction. All of those things that just are a part of life. God, when we feel like we don't know how to handle it, we once again want to come to you because you are the one who is in total control. You have our yesterday, today, and tomorrow already figured out. May you give us eyes to be able to see what that is. Lead us forward, God, by the power of your Spirit. Encourage us, lift us up in this moment. Help us to open our eyes to those around us as we go about our weeks, the people that you bring into our path. Maybe it's even that annoying coworker or person at school. Maybe they're that person that you want us to reach out to this week. God, will you once again be all that we need? Give us all that we would need. We know that you will. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. One of the cool things about Away in a Manger is, did you know that there are almost 40 different tunes that the words have been put to throughout the time that the song has been in existence? It's really quite a simple and yet amazing Christmas carol. And this whole month, we've been reflecting on a different carol each Sunday. Today, we're looking at another classic, Away in a Manger. And it all kind of stems from that verse in Luke 2, Luke 2:7, which says, "And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a what? A manger, because there was no guest room available for them." That verse kind of inspired this hymn. Now, in 1885, this song was first found in English. It was included in a Lutheran book of Sunday school curriculum, and it was in a book on the left called Little Children's Book for Schools and Families. This was sung in schools and churches and in homes. And it was published in Pennsylvania, but no author was given for this song, 1885. Then in 1887, it appeared in another book, in a fabulous book with very current language called Dainty Songs for Little Lads and Lasses. Oh, it's a page-turner, believe me. It is a wonderful, wonderful book of songs. But in that songbook, for the first time, a little note appeared at the bottom, And it said, Luther's Cradle Hymn, composed by Martin Luther for his children and still sung by German mothers to their little ones. The interesting thing is that when they asked German mothers about this, they were mystified because none of them could remember actually having sung that song to their children. And it became very apparent that we don't actually know who wrote this carol. It was considered highly unlikely that a song written by Martin Luther, an influential church reformer, would suddenly go unnoticed and then appear 400 years later in English in Pennsylvania. So the mystery of who wrote Away in a Manger endures today. But there is no mystery of the impact that this Christmas carol has had. It's popular, as we said, sung in almost 40 different tunes, slight variations in the words from time to time, but generations of children and adults, because as people of faith, we are all called children of God, sons and daughters of the Most High. But generations of people around the world have come to love and know the little Jesus through this sweet carol. Simple words of hope with a memorable tune, and perhaps today you got to hear a cool new tune for the very first time. Many people have fallen gently asleep hearing this hummed or sung through the years. I love thee, Lord Jesus. Look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. One of the original ways it was sung was, in this lullaby. So, you know, you can rhyme all those words. For many people, whether growing up or hearing it new today, it touches the heart. We repeat the phrase, the little Lord Jesus, and it just kind of makes it feel all warm and fuzzy inside. And it's a great phrase, the little Lord Jesus. It's easy to remember, but friends, it's also a little unfortunate. Because Jesus is far more than a 6-pound, 10-ounce bundle of joy. He's not just a miracle. He's not just a dear, precious baby that wakes up and kind of does this and never cries. We know that that is not true. All of you who have had small ones in your home know that that is impossible. In this coming to earth by the little Lord Jesus, God had so much more planned than just focusing on the size of Jesus. So instead of focusing on his size today, I want us to focus on the very next word, which is really the most important, Lord. Here's the big idea. This is the one that's easy to jot down. If you're following along in the back of your bulletin, it's just three little words. Jesus is Lord. He's not only the little Lord Jesus, he is the Lord of all. Jesus is Lord. About 740 times in the New Testament alone is of this phrase repeated, or a variation of it. It's repeated hundreds of times. Do you think it's important? Yeah. Things that are repeated tend to be very important in the Bible. In the first mention of the birth of the Savior, we see him called Lord. In Luke 2, shepherds are watching their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appears to them and says these words in verse 10, "Do not be afraid," which for people then and perhaps today would be a fearful time. Suddenly this angel of the Lord, this light show and power show shows up. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is who? Christ the Lord." This was news that those shepherds and all the people of that time had waited for hundreds of years. Who is he? He is Christ the Lord. Not only the little Lord Jesus, he is the Lord Jesus. The beginning establishes that when Jesus, the Son of God, is born, he is the Savior of the world. This little baby born in the manger is the Savior of the world. Maybe he was about the size of that little baby back there. Maybe even smaller, maybe bigger. We don't really know. And you know what? It doesn't matter how big the baby was, even though we like to get bogged down by details like that. What matters is that that little baby was and is the Lord. But what does that truth, that declaration mean today? If Jesus is Lord, what does that mean in your day-to-day life? If you're in a relationship, what does that mean? If you're finishing a school semester right now, what does that mean? If you're buying Christmas presents, what does that mean? When the Bible was first written, every now and then we share a word from the Bible. And when the Bible was first written, the word that was used for Lord was the word kurios, or kurios. And kurios has a bunch of different things that it means, but it most clearly translates to Lord. It's also translated as supreme in authority. So that little baby lying in the manger was already supreme in authority. And the last one, which is the one that we often have trouble with, that baby was also known as the controller. Kurios could mean the one who controls or is in control. Now that is a challenge for us to hear, because if Jesus is the controller, then that means he's probably competing with you and me for who really wants to be in control. Some of you like to be in control. Not me, of course. I don't like to be in control at all, as long as things go my way. I'll admit it. I'm in the same boat as you. Control is something that we like to have. We don't like to give it up. Maybe it's when we're driving. You know, no one is better. What did I say on Friday to the person that was too slow to accelerate? Come on, people, get a move on. It's the pedal on the right, yes. For some of you, it's the remote. Don't touch that. Don't press that button. I'm not sure what control element it is for you, but chances are that you want to be in control too. Jesus is the one in control. Perhaps you want that perfect Christmas this year, with food that comes out just right, perfectly wrapped presents with perfect corners, the tape that looks just right, your hair styled perfectly. You take a picture and you want your children or grandchildren to smile with that perfect cherub-like angel smile. You want to read Luke 2 as a family or as a group with just the right amount of candlelight. And you know that that's all kind of a myth. There is no perfect Christmas for you or I in trying to, at least when we try to keep it in our control. The perfect Christmas was that night that Jesus was born. If Jesus is supreme in authority, the controller of your life, what does it mean to make him the Lord of your life? Now, technically, we don't make Jesus anything, just like you can't really make a baby do what it doesn't want to do. You can't do that with adults either. We're going to do what we want to do. And we don't make Jesus anything. He already is Lord. He already is in control of everything, whether we want to believe it or not. Little Lord Jesus is the one in control. What we do actually do is we submit to the Lord Jesus. The Lordship of Christ Jesus. When we surrender or submit, we do so to the supreme authority in this world. It means that we give up control. We relinquish it willingly. That ain't easy, you know. So I want to explore at least two different levels of surrendering today. The first one is the one that, unfortunately, most of us live in at points in our life. And when I say most of us, I will restrict it to the church in America. I don't know what it might be like in other parts of the world, but it's this, the partially surrendered life. The partially surrendered life. This, I'm afraid, is where the majority of us would live. Especially in this country where many freedoms are celebrated, there are many kinds of Christians, there are casual or cultural Christians, there are even people who believe in God but live as if he does not exist. It's a partially surrendered life. And in surrendering, there really is no partial surrender. There's only complete surrender or no surrender at all. In Luke 6:46, Jesus was talking about the difference between the wise and the foolish builders, and of the foolish builders, and when he says foolish, he's talking about those who are not wise. He's not saying they're idiots. They're not wise. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" You can almost sense the exasperation in his voice. Maybe as for those of you who have been called to be parents or grandparents, you've said something similar. Why do you not do what I want you to do? Why don't you do what I say? That is what Jesus says to us as well. Why are you giving me lip service instead of life service? And there are many people today who would say something like, "I believe in the Lord, but I can't trust him with everything. I believe in the Lord, but I still want to do what I want. I believe in the Lord, but I still want to be in control of this or that." And when this belief becomes the driving force in our life, before long, we end up taking the entire Bible and we say, "Yeah, but I know Jesus says, pray for those who wrong me, pray for my enemy, bless those who persecute me. I know I'm supposed to forgive, but after what they did, there's no way. I ain't going to do it. I know I'm supposed to trust God when it comes to money and this life, to trust him and not get into crazy debt, to trust him and give a portion back to him like we talked about last month. There's no way I could do that. It's so stressful, it sounds crazy in the first place. I know that when it comes to my time and my schedule, I'm supposed to trust God and give him time. So I'll give him Sunday mornings. Unless the Raiders are playing at 10 a.m., or unless I've got this family thing going on, or the gazillionth soccer game. As long as it doesn't conflict with this or that. So I give Jesus some things, but only as a last resort. And friends, this is a hard word for us, for the church to hear today, because we all live in that partially surrendered life to some degree. When we do this, we have taken God's word and we conveniently forget it or we remake it in our own image. It's why the Bible, I think, repeatedly brings up why it's so important to remember, because we are forgetful people. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Jesus says in Luke 6. Some of you may have heard Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 before. Maybe you'd even declare that that's how you would want to live your life. So I actually found a different translation. It's the PSV. It's a version that you have not heard before. It's the partially surrendered version. And it goes something like this: trust in the Lord with some of your heart, but lean on your own understanding. In some of your ways, acknowledge him, but you can make your own paths straight. Now, for the benefit of this recording and so that I'm not misinterpreted, or those of you that are new to faith or even this church, this is not a real version of the Bible. This is not a real translation of those verses. This is just an example of the life that we often actually live. So Jesus is being serious when he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Let that sink in. It's as if he could be saying that words to us. Now, perhaps not all the time. You know, some days we have good days. Other days, yeah, we could do better. But in the quiet of your heart in this moment, be honest and open to what the Holy Spirit uncovers for you today. ask yourself the question, and we can ask ourselves, what have I not surrendered to the Lord? What area of my life am I still trying to control? What areas am I unwilling to give to God? It could be just about anything. It's probably a little bit different for everybody. For some of you, it might actually be helpful to write it physically down somewhere in your bulletin. Because sometimes when we write things down, it actually becomes a little more real for us. We have to face that honest truth. For some of you, it's your children. For others, it might be your health, your temper, a toxic relationship, your finances, your future. Whatever it is for you, and maybe it's a combination of some of those, these are the areas where we aren't quite sure if we trust God. We aren't quite sure if we want to release control. This is hard to acknowledge, but this is the truth. It makes us part-time followers of Jesus. And I know that in this Christmas season, that is a hard word to hear as the church, that there are some ways that we are half-hearted, we're partially surrendered to the Lord. And yet, almost all of us in one way or another live that way. But here's the good news. There is another way to live. There is another level of surrendering that Jesus really desires for us and from us in this life. And it's this, the fully surrendered life. At least to the best of our abilities. The fully surrendered life. Fully surrendered, all in. If Jesus was a poker player, he'd be pushing into the middle of the pot every single time. He's all in. Every hand. Never back down. All in. My life is not my own, but belongs to Christ. That's the kind of life that is fully surrendered. A life that is not our own. Romans 14 says this, "For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it is to what? Honor the Lord. If we die, it's what? To honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we what? Belong to the Lord. We belong to the Lord." Is anyone here living? Okay, one. Anyone here alive? Okay, I see a few more hands. I'll give you another chance. Anyone here living? Okay, good. We got at least 50% now. That's doing better, you know. Okay, we have some, again, remember, we've got coffee. We have some caffeinated teas, if that's what helps you, you know, really feel alive. If we live, why do we live? To honor the Lord. The Lord, Kurios, supreme in authority, the controller. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, you belong to the Lord. It means our life is not our own. We willingly surrender it. And it sounds like a high cost, right? To surrender our life. It sounds like a very high cost. But when Jesus was born in that manger, he already was the Lord Jesus, who just happened to be little, because that's how we come into the world. Tiny little bundles of hopefully joy. But sometimes they just, things come out of their body all the time, and they're not so joyful. As the Lord, it led him to shed his blood and die for us. He offered a free gift to us, to all of humanity, salvation. It costs you nothing, but it cost Jesus everything. Jesus fully surrendered his life. That's what he wants us to do as well. Without this, we wouldn't have a chance to be truly alive. And if I ask the question, are you alive? If Jesus had not given his life for us, none of us would actually be able to raise our hand. We might be going through the motions biologically, but we would not truly be alive. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So when you say yes to him, you no longer own the rights to your life. You belong to him. It's kind of hard in America, a land of where we want to be owners and accumulators and make our own way and kind of that. And not those are not always bad things. But in Christ, we are not our own. That's why keeping it casual and cool with Jesus isn't really an option. Jesus isn't just a little baby Jesus in the manger. He isn't just your buddy or your boyfriend or some guy you kick it with occasionally. Jesus is the risen one, the soon to return, reigning, ruling, supreme in authority, controller, King of kings, Lord of lords. That's who was born in the manger that night. When Christ returns, Romans says, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God." With all that said, my friends, here's what Proverbs 3 really says. We are told to trust in whom? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Now that word acknowledge is a little bit obscure word for us. Because, you know, sometimes acknowledges you're in the grocery store and you see a person you know and you just kind of go this. You do this. Or, yeah, sup. You know, we think of acknowledge as saying sup. Yeah. Acknowledge is an ancient Hebrew word, yada. You know, like yada, yada, yada. Yada, which means to know. It means that you're both aware of God and you knowingly submit to him. One translation of the Bible says, "In all your ways, submit to him." To know him is to obey him. To obey him is to acknowledge him. Friends, this is a high and worthy calling. It's not just an easily memorable verse. To live a fully surrendered life of trust, obedience, and reliance on the Lord. That's what it means to acknowledge him as Lord. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your way straight. The bottom line is that we don't always surrender areas of our lives to him because we don't really know him. If we did know him, we would love him. If we did know him, we would trust him. The good news is that surrendering isn't as hard as we think. Because what we do know is that the Lord is the reigning, ruling King of all. Ever-present, all-knowing, all-powerful, good in every way. Emmanuel, that word we shared a couple weeks ago, which means God with us. Emmanuel, sent as God with us. This is the little Lord Jesus we sing of today. There's a big difference, though, between singing the words and feeling all warm and fuzzy inside and actually surrendering to that Lord Jesus as the supreme authority in our life. We said before that Jesus isn't a part-time Lord and he's really not looking for part-time followers. Instead, Jesus is an always on fire, wholehearted, all-in, full-time Lord. He's going to go to bat for you every time, and he expects the same of you. When you come to Jesus, he asks you, "Give me your whole life, your whole heart, body, mind, soul, and spirit." He says, "If you want to follow me, then take up your cross and follow me. If you want to find your life, then you must lose it." Lose it by giving it away, surrendering it, coming under his lordship in your life. It is this child in the manger whom we surrender to all. We're going to pray. And as we do, I want you to stay seated. I want you to close your eyes this time. Normally, I'd say it doesn't really matter, but this time I'd like you to close your eyes as we pray. Because I'm going to give you an opportunity to think about those areas of your life that need surrendering this morning. And at the conclusion of this time of prayer, we're actually going to sing a song as a response before we take the offering and move into our closing song. So will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to be here on earth. Yes, we know he came first as a little baby, but he has always been Christ Jesus the Lord, and we acknowledge that today. We pray, O God, that you would speak in a way that only you can do, that in this moment, lives and relationships and families and schools and workplaces and every area of our heart would be transformed by the goodness and mercy of your Son. That as we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus, we would be overcome with your love and infused by your power. As we pray, church, and this is a word especially for those of you who already believe that Christ Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you want to live that fully surrendered life, there's an opportunity right now. In this quiet moment, take that area that you've only partially given to the Lord. Name it in your mind. Maybe it's that thing you wrote down earlier, or it's that thing that's in your mind. Confess it in your heart before God, for he is listening to you right now. Whatever it may be, we name it, and today by faith in your heart you can pray, God, I surrender it to you. I desire to know you with all of my heart. I know that I've been half-hearted in this area, and I don't want to be. I want to be fully surrendered to you. So, Father, in faith today, I give you this relationship, this person, this job, my health, my fears, my apathy. I give you all that keeps me from truly knowing you. Lord, release me from those chains and draw me close to you. Church, in this moment, take a breath in and then breathe out. Father, we thank you. I pray that each person who prayed would be different because of this moment. Matthew 7 says that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The Lord will say to many, you called me Lord, but I didn't know you. If you are here today, if you are living and you want a loving relationship with God, if you're here, you might even be a regular churchgoer. I know that I was until the day the Spirit connected my head to my heart and everything changed from simply calling out Lord, Lord, to truly knowing him as Lord. If that is you, then you can pray today as well. I know and believe that you are here for a reason, and that reason is that God already loves you. You may not even know that reason today, but that is the reason you are here. You are one prayer away from knowing him as Lord. Today might be that day that you are one prayer away from being forgiven, one prayer away from the first moments of a brand new life. And if you recognize in this moment that you don't really know God and you want to, if in your heart you're saying, yes, that's me. I want to know him. I need to be forgiven. I don't want to just call him Lord. I want to know him as Lord. Would you take a step of faith right now and raise your hand? It's safe. No one is watching. As you lift your hand, you're saying, yes, that's my prayer. That's my prayer. Know that I see you, and I praise God for you. For those of you who don't know him and want to be forgiven, who want to enter for the very first time into life with Christ as your Savior, then pray with me now. Heavenly Father, save me from my sins. Make me new. I don't just want to know more stuff about you. I want to know you. Transform me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Today I believe Jesus lived, died, and rose again for me so I could live for you, O God. I give you my whole life. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. I surrender all. Thank you for this new life. Now you have mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, I want to actually have my dad come up here for a second. Not everybody knows, but my dad is a retired pastor, and even though he's retired, you know, retirement is not a biblical concept. Amen. So, as a blessing for our congregation, our church this morning, would you bless our church?
Thank you. Lord, we're thankful that you're the fullness that we need. You provided it in your son Jesus. I'm thankful for Edgewater Covenant, for its not so long but strong presence here, Pittsburgh. Would you pour your Spirit out on each member, each friend in this church, that they would go out to be the light and life that you gave to Jesus. I thank you especially for Steve and Rebecca. Encourage them in their ministry here. Help them to love their people more and more each day. Thank you for the generosity of people this day. Help them to know that you can never outgive God who gave everything in his Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Go forth, church, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the little baby Jesus. Amen. Amen.